I appreciate the songs that Doug picked out, and he did contact me about the sermon, not anticipating that I reserve the right to take a little bit different direction. We're still going to talk about fatherhood this morning, and the fourth point we'll get to will bring in what Doug did with the song service. It'll fit very nicely to that. It's good to have everyone with us here today as we assemble together to worship our Heavenly Father. If you're visiting here with us, we want you to know that you are a welcome guest. If you see something or hear something that maybe sparks a question, we'd invite you to ask us that question. Give us a chance to sit down with you and study with you from the wonderful Word of God. Today, what I'd like to do is consider a simple subject of four steps of fatherhood. I realize there are many things that we could talk about in regards to this subject, but there are four steps that I'd like for us to consider this morning. Now, twofold purpose behind the lesson. For us fathers, to remind us our charge given to us by God. For the rest of the family, to understand the responsibility that lies upon the shoulders of the father and how much of a help you are to them, and look to them as a pattern to follow within your own life. The first thing I'd like to begin with this morning is a simple truth that as fathers, we are supposed to submit ourselves unto the Lord. Be turning your Bibles, if you would, to the book of James. We're going to go to the fourth chapter. James chapter 4. Now, I want you to notice there, albeit the context in and of itself is not specifically talking to or about fathers, there is an overall truth here that as fathers we must be abiding by. Notice in James 4, beginning there in verse 4, he starts, and we're jumping into the context a bit, but he says, "Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you think that the Scripture says in vain, the Spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously? But he who gives more grace, therefore he says, God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble." Then verse 7, "Therefore submit to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you." He then says, "Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up." Now, fathers, if we listen to this and we live by these instructions, we are going to be setting the greatest of examples for our family. When our family looks at us, they should see us leading them not in the direction of behavior such as the world that would put us as enemies of God, but instead they should see us humbling ourselves before the Lord, submitting ourselves unto God, drawing near unto him, and God therefore then would draw near unto us. Fathers, if we will do that within our own lives, then we set for our family a wonderful example. If they look to their father and see him submitting unto God, if they look to their father, their husbands, and see him drawing near unto God, then it sets a pattern for them. And they, the Lord willing, will walk side by side with you as you continue, as you strive to walk in fellowship with our Heavenly Father. We think about what Jesus says in Mark 12:30. Well, let's make the connection here. He's asked in the text here, what is the greatest of commandments? And he says the greatest of the commandments is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Well, fathers, if we submit ourselves unto God, if we humble ourselves before him, if we draw near unto him, then we create within our hearts and our minds this love and desire to serve the Lord. It's not simply an outward thing that we do while inwardly we are balking against what we're doing. If we are truly humbling ourselves before the Lord, then it begins within our hearts, and we end up shaping our hearts and our minds in the pattern that God would have us to do. And when we do this, it creates this inward love, which is then accompanied by an outward obedience. When we stop and consider the things that Jesus taught regarding our hearts, we recognize, as we mentioned, he said in Mark, that we are to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. But think about Matthew chapter 12, verse 35. It's a real simple statement we'll bring in here. But in the context of this passage here, he says, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. Fathers, we need to lead our families in serving the Lord. So to do that, we need to humble ourselves before him, submit ourselves unto his will. Then we establish a heart that's right with him, and a heart from where good fruits flow. That's what our family needs to see when they look at us, when our wife looks at us, when our children look at us, when our grandchildren look up to us. They should see someone who is submitting first unto God. There are a lot of things in the world that are demanding our attention. There are a lot of temptations out there that are seeking to lure us away from the Lord. But what keeps us anchored firmly within his fellowship is our humble heart, our willing to submit ourselves unto him and his word, and shaping our hearts that will then form an outward service and obedience unto him. Fathers, this is our charge. And you know, one might say, well, the James text and what Jesus said in Mark 12:30, doesn't it apply to everybody? That's right. It applies to your wife, and it applies to your children. But you should be the front runner in setting the examples for them and leading them down this path of serving God. But let's go a little farther here. There's a second thing that fathers, a second step, if you would, that fathers need to take, this path of fatherhood. And that is this: we need to grow. Now, fathers do grow. As you get older, you kind of grow older. You might grow wider. You grow a little shorter. But what we're talking about is growing in knowledge. And yes, it's important to gain knowledge of other things, but you know, in the context of this lesson, we're talking about knowledge of God's word. We need to seek to grow in knowledge and wisdom. This is crucial. Now, I'm going to take a bit of a deviation to an example of the children of Israel. And right off the bat, it may not seem to be connected, but I think there is a very good lesson. Be turning over, if you would, to Isaiah chapter 33 for just a moment. In Isaiah chapter 33, in the writings here, there's a prayer that God would watch over the nation of Israel. The Assyrian nation had already come into the land, and they'd done a lot of damage. They'd taken a lot of plunder from the land, especially think about the 10 northern tribes there. And so in the course of this prayer, let's start in verse 1 of chapter 33 of the book of Isaiah. He says, "Woe to you who plunder, though you have not been plundered." He says, "And you who deal treacherously, though they have not dealt treacherously with you. When you cease plundering, you will be plundered. When you make an end of dealing treacherously, they will deal treacherously with you." Now verse 2, "O Lord, be gracious to us. We have waited for you. Be their arm every morning, our salvation also in the time of trouble. At the noise of the tumult, the people shall flee. When you lift yourselves up, the nations shall be scattered, and your plunder shall be gathered like the gathering of the caterpillar, as the running to and fro of locusts, he shall run upon them." Now, the target here is verses 5 and 6. "The Lord is exalted, for he dwells on high. He has filled Zion with justice and righteousness. Wisdom and knowledge will be the stability of your times and the strength of salvation. The fear of the Lord is his treasure." Now, despite everything that they lost to the Assyrians, despite all the plundering, he's reminding them that you still have a treasure that's greater than any of that. But in order for you to hold on to this treasure, you need stability. And the only place the stability is going to come from, look at verse 6, "Wisdom and knowledge will be the stability of your times and the strength of salvation." Now, could this apply in the lives of Christians today? Absolutely. What about fathers? Fathers, we have a responsibility of creating for our family a stable household. A place where when the children come back from playing with their friends or come back from school, they know that no matter what happened out there, when they come through the doors, they have a safe, stable, loving, God-fearing environment. That no matter what happened that day, no matter the challenges, even no matter their mistakes, they know that when they come home to a loving Father who will walk with them in serving the Lord, will help to teach them and show them how to process the things that have happened that day. The father who has learned wisdom, the father who has learned this knowledge and uses it to create for his household a stable foundation. And did you notice there what else he said in the text right at the end of that? He says, wisdom and knowledge will be the stability of your times and the strength of salvation. The fear of the Lord is his treasure. God wanted Israel to keep abiding by his word, to hold to his truths, and he would be there for them. It would create the greatest treasure. What was the greatest treasure? The fear of the Lord is his treasure. Fathers, this should be our goal within our households, to make certain that we are growing in this knowledge and wisdom of the Lord, that we are establishing for our households this stability, this fear of the Lord, so that the whole household itself will be able to stand fast. In Paul's letter to the churches throughout Galatians, in Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, notice what he tells them to stand fast in. Galatians chapter 5, note there beginning in verse 1, he says, stand fast therefore in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Fathers, we need to show our families how to stand fast in the liberty by which Christ has made us free. That we don't move, we don't budge. You know, many times you'll hear stories about fathers who rise to the occasion to protect their families. Years ago, there was an instance when I was a kid. And it's just a very momentary thing, but my family and I, we had gone down to a river, and on this river there were a bunch of rocks. This is North Georgia. And the way the rocks were there, it created swimming holes, if you would. There were pools of water, some of them pretty deep, others real shallow, and it's hard to tell. And there's one time that I remember when I was a kid that we were coming back from that, and my middle sister slipped. And she fell into what seemingly should have been a shallow pool of water, but it was deep. And I remember myself kind of panicking, not knowing what to do. My dad, he just stepped in the water, reached in, grabbed her, and pulled her right out. And that's what our families expect of us, to be there. To not only to protect them physically, but to be the firm foundation within our family, established solidly upon the Word of God, built upon this wisdom and knowledge. Over in Ephesians chapter 6, this was a passage that we used for our scripture reading earlier. Fathers, this is what we are to be prepared for. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1. Let's go ahead and jump to verse 10 now that we're already there. We'll come back to verse 1 here in a minute. This is what we're to be set for. He says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. We'll come back to this here in a minute. But now let's look back to verse 1. Keep this in mind, what God is expecting of all of his people. And keep in mind the stance that we're supposed to take. And look who we're supposed to teach this to. Verse 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and the admonition of the Lord. When you grow in wisdom and knowledge, you are now equipped to be able to teach your family, to show them how to serve the Lord and how to walk and be strong in the faith. And that brings us to our third step of fatherhood. We are to be strong. And in the context of what we're talking about, strong in faith. Think about this for just a moment. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. We're just looking at one verse here, but there's a great deal of information that we can pull from this. A lot of encouragement and instructions. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, note with me in verse 13. Real simple. Paul writes in this section, watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, be strong. Fathers, how would that apply to us? Well, let's break this down. We've got a responsibility to watch. Yes, all Christians are to be watching. But in the course and discussion of our households, we are the ones who are on guard. We are to watch. Then the next thing he says there in the text is to stand fast in the faith. This is who we are supposed to be. We are supposed to be, if you would, the gatekeepers who are not shaken, who do not waver, but who stand fast in the faith of God. In Moses' instructions to the children of Israel prior to their going into the land of Canaan, note what he says in Deuteronomy 31. And I think, again, this is something that we could apply within our lives and especially within our discussion of fathers. Deuteronomy chapter 31, start there with me in verse 6. Moses says, be strong and of good courage. Do not fear nor be afraid of them, for the Lord your God, he is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Then Moses called Joshua and said to him in the sight of all Israel, be strong and of good courage, for you must go with this people to the land which the Lord has sworn to their fathers to give them, and you shall cause them to inherit it. Fathers, you kind of walk in the role of Moses and in the role of Joshua. Just as they were leading the children of Israel and would lead them, Joshua would, into the land of promise, you are leading your families through this sin-filled world to a promise that Paul says still remains for us this day. We are the Moses and Joshuas leading our families to salvation in the Lord. But listen to what he says, be strong, be of good courage. Do not fear nor be afraid. And again in verse 7, this same idea. Be strong and of good courage. 1 Chronicles 28, verse 20, we won't take the time to read this, but David, when he's talking to his son Solomon, he says the same thing to him. Be strong, be of good courage. Fathers, you walk in the footsteps of those who have gone before you, who have faithfully led their families in serving the Lord. You walk in the footsteps of men going all the way back to Abraham and those who faithfully followed the Lord. Stand fast in the faith and be brave. The King James Version, if memory serves, says, quit you like men, be strong. And basically it's telling you, act like a man. And what we're talking about is to have the bravery of a man, to be there and stand up and stand opposed to that which would hinder your family or harm your family. Stand up for them in the sight of the Lord and lead them down the right path. Be brave, don't chicken out, and be strong. This brings us back to Ephesians chapter 6. Now let's read verses 10 through 13. Back to Ephesians chapter 6. While all Christians, we walk by the same pattern, fathers, you are setting the examples for your family. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Think back to what we just read in Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 6. Don't be afraid of them. Don't be afraid of the enemies who inhabited the land. Well, in this case in point, he says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Yes, in context, he's talking about your role as an individual Christian, but fathers, we need to stand before our families. We need to be able to show them how to take this stance, that we are not afraid of the things that the world would throw at us. We are not afraid of the attempts of the devil to devour us, as Peter talks about, that we will stand for the cause of Christ and we will show our families how to be strong in the faith. A father's faith will be seen in his service to the Lord. It will be seen in how he worships the Lord. It'll be seen in his life choices. And it's going to be seen in the way he leads his family. Fathers, we should be held. We should be scrutinized if we don't lead our families in the way of the Lord. And if our families have to call us to the carpet for the decisions and actions that we've made or not made, we should let our humility to God and our submission to God cause us to listen to the correction and do as God would have us to do. Be strong in the faith. Now, lastly, the fourth step we're going to talk about, this goes back to what we said at the start and in connection with what Doug said and the songs that he led. Fathers need to love the way that God loves us. And the way that we understand this is through understanding God. We study the scriptures. As fathers, we are supposed to follow God's pattern. Well, let's share a few things. How much would you, if you said, how much does God love you? Well, Jesus explained that in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God loved he loved us enough, so much that he sent Jesus to be the perfect sacrifice. Now, Father, do you have that same love for your families? And really, it's hard to kind of describe that love. You really can't understand that love until you face that moment. When you face that moment where you have to make certain that you are putting your family's well-being and best above all else, leading them in service unto God. God loved us so much that he sent Jesus to die so that we might be saved. Fathers, what are we doing to show our love for our family? We also find that God is willing to forgive us. God is a very forgiving God as long as we humble ourselves and come to him. Let's illustrate this level of forgiveness on the part of God. When one soul is lost, what is God's desire for that one soul? Well, Luke chapter 15, Jesus makes the will of God known. In the parable, beginning in verse 4, he says, what man of you having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, rejoice, rejoice with me, for I found my sheep which was lost. I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. God wants us to repent. He wants us to follow him. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. 2 Peter 3, verse 9. This is how much he loves us. Fathers, learn from this. Learn from this. Be willing to forgive. You know, we have a responsibility to discipline our children. But the discipline that we give to our children comes out of a heart of love, which is willing to forgive, which is willing to accept them when they are willing to repent and acknowledge that what they've done is wrong. We understand the perfectness of God, but please apply this in our role as fathers. This is our charge because of our love for our families. God cares for us. Peter says in 1 Peter 5, 7 that we're cast our cares upon him. How many times have your kids cast their cares upon you? Probably more than you remember, especially when they're young. Think about the times they come to you. And maybe they have a problem. Maybe they have a concern. Maybe there's something that scared them. And in your mind, you're thinking, this is nothing. But because you once was a child, you take them in your arms and you hug them so they feel protected and that you were there for them. You may say to yourself, well, that care is really not that serious and everything will be okay, but in their mind it's not, and you cherish them and you hold them as if it is as big as what they believe it to be. Because what are you trying to do? Show them you care for them and you want to comfort them. God cares for us. So Peter says, cast our cares upon him. And as children, we trust him, just as our children should trust us. Two more, real quick. God is compassionate. Hebrews 4, verse 14. Now here's why I picked this particular verse, the compassion of God. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14 tells us something about our Lord and Savior. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but it was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Notice that. He can sympathize with our weaknesses. God has compassion on us, but we still must repent and come to him. We still must humble ourselves and return to him. And fathers, we learn from that to show compassion towards our children. And then lastly, God disciplines us so that we are made stronger. Hebrews chapter 12, and then after this, the lesson will be yours. Let's start our reading there in verse 3. He talks about, the Hebrew writer does, for consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. You have not yet resisted the bloodshed, striving against sin, he writes about the people. And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as to sons. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens, and scourges every son whom he receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they indeed for a few days chastened us as seemed best to them, but he for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. Now, no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. There's a whole other lesson we could spend on this. But the point is, the chastening that we endure is for our own good. And the Lord chastens those whom he loves. Fathers, are we chastening our children? Are we with love exercising the discipline that he's talking about here, even from a very physical level? Are we doing what is best to help our families to grow in the strength and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? It requires correction, but it also requires teaching and examples, and examples that are set by us. So there it is, four steps of fatherhood. Now, if you are a father, whether you just began this road of fatherhood a month ago, or your fatherhood now takes you into grandchildren and great-grandchildren, keep in mind that you still bear a responsibility to God and then to your family to walk in submission to the Lord. Start there, because if you'll humbly submit yourself unto God, it will affect everything within your life, the way you think, the way you behave, and the way you treat your family. Then allow yourself to grow in knowledge and wisdom. Grow in knowledge and wisdom alongside your family as well, and lead them in this. Be strong in the faith, and let your family see you be strong. You know, oftentimes fathers don't like to appear weak. Sometimes fathers don't even like to ask for help, because we recognize the position that we hold, and we don't want to ever give our family cause to think that we are not as strong as we are. But when we're talking about the subject of faith, this needs to be more true than anything else, that we are strong in the faith, and that they see that strength, and they know that we will walk them rightly before the Lord. And then lastly, be loving. Love your family. Love your wives. Love your children. Love your great-grandchildren. Love your families so much so that you're walking after the pattern of God's love, where he was willing to send Jesus to die upon the cross of Calvary for the remission of our sins. and our love for our families should reflect even just a portion, because we are not God, but it should reflect a love for our family where we put them and their needs before everything else. And our goal is to make certain that our family walks in the path of righteousness before the Lord. If you're not a Christian, you need to become one. Why? Because God wants to be your heavenly Father. He wants you to be one of His children through the spirit of adoption, as Paul talks about in Romans 8. But you must come to Him. If you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, then make the decision this morning to repent of your sins and be buried with Christ through baptism, so you'll rise up then to walk in the newness of life, rise up to walk in fellowship with God, rise up to walk as one who is now a child of God through that spirit of adoption. And then if you are a father, you serve the Lord in the capacity that He expects of you, and you lead your family down that same path of righteousness. If you are a wife or a child or a great-grandchild, then stand side by side, holding their hands, and walk in fellowship with your Father as you all strive to walk in fellowship with your Heavenly Father. If you're ready to become a child of God today, or maybe you need the prayers of the congregation, would you come forward now as we stand and as we sing?